Let's see our Bibles this morning. Very good, Rock Church. That's okay. Let's do it one more time. Mean it, say it like you mean to say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Psalm 9. You might have seen the kids up here blowing bubbles. We started a series last week called Bubbles, a series on prayer. There's a little kid in the park blowing bubbles up into the sky, and he noticed every time he blew bubbles up into the sky, bigger, colorful bubbles would come back down from the sky and pop on him. And when they popped on him, they would encourage him, or they would give him wisdom or vision or a desire to read his Bible, a desire to pray, a desire to love his enemies. And these bubbles started to transform him into more what God wanted him to be. So everywhere he went, he would blow these bubbles, whether he was in school, driving down the street with his parents, on vacation, wherever he was, he would blow these bubbles, and they would come back down and start to impact his life. Prayer is like that. When you pray, you send messages up to God, and God sends a message back to you. Prayer is communication. Everyone say communication. And communication means an exchange of ideas or information. So when you pray to God, you are communicating to God, but he also wants to communicate to you. And I think we would all agree that what God wants to communicate to us is more important than what we communicate to him. And what I mean by that is not that what you're saying is not important. It is really important. It just so happens what God has to say is really, really, really important. And what he has to say to you is really what you're looking for. You're praying to him because there's something wrong. Your faith is reaching into the unknown for something you can't get or for something you don't have. So prayer is communication. So we call this bubbles. Bubbles go up, bubbles come down. And in the bubbles God sends to us is information, it's passion, it's character. His bubbles will, he will send bubbles down that will change your heart, give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness, change your mind that the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart may be acceptable to him. He'll change the way you think. He'll give you vision. When those bubbles come down, he'll give you vision. He'll send power to you. So his bubble is not about just answering a question. So what we're going to do over the next couple of months is we'll do a series called Bubbles. Everyone say Bubbles. We're going to talk about several things. We're going to talk about, one, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It doesn't mean just saying in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer and it'll come true. That's not what it means. What it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that God wants to answer your prayer. We're also going to talk about the things that can hinder your prayer. In other words, the things you can do that can stifle your prayer. In other words, you're living one way and you're praying over here and God's saying, I'm not listening to your prayers, because God is not obligated to answer your prayers the way you want them to. You want him to. I said last week that I made a comment that if you don't treat your wife right, God, your prayers will be hindered. And someone emailed me and made a comment that that's not true, it's not in the Bible, and I shouldn't have said it. So I want to read something to you. If you have a pen, write down 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. All the ladies say, hey. Now, let me also say to you ladies, there's stuff you can do to get your prayers hindered, like treat your husbands bad. We're going to read that into the verse as well. So don't be treating your husbands all, you know, don't be a she-devil, because God's not going to listen to you either. So for every she-devil, there's a he-dummy, okay? So it goes both ways. But the point is that, you know, there's things you can do that God will say, you need to straighten that out first, okay? Because you're not doing this right. You're over here mistreating, whether it be your wife or other people for that matter. Really, the spirit of it is you don't want to have sin in your life and then trying to be blessed. It's a contradiction. So that's a bigger issue, the bigger lesson. And so we're going to be talking about those issues over the next couple of months. But what we're going to talk about today is how to pray. Very simple acronym that we're going to use called or sipper. Everyone say or sipper. Say or sipper. Say or sipper. Let me spell it for you. A-W-C-I-P-A. Spell it.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
One more time.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
One more time. Do it slow. Watch the hand.
A.
A. The two A's are the same word. Okay, so let's say it one more time. I want you to say it with some meaning. Some, I want you to say it with some passion. Okay?
A-W-C-I-P-A.
Why do we have to do it so many times? So you get it. Everyone say Osipa. Okay, you got your pen out? Okay, we are going to pray today, and every time we pray, any time during this whole service, if you feel God speak to you about anything, I want you to write it down. Now, how do you know it's God? Well, if it's not unbiblical, just assume that it could be God. What I mean by that, if it's go slash someone's tires, that's unbiblical. That's not God. But if it's something like, of course, read your Bible, but if it's something like you need to work on your diet, that's not unbiblical. Okay, that could be God. Write it down. I want you to drink more water. I have a sister that's like a... she's not a dermatologist, but she's into makeup and face. And she's just like, what do you call that? Yeah, she's a cosmetologist face person. And as soon as I see her, like her two thumbs, she's always popping stuff. As soon as I see her, she's like, yeah. But she's always telling me, you need to drink more water. That's all she always tells me, you need to drink more water. God may say, you may hear God tell you to drink more water. Write it down. Why is that important? God wants to be able to tell you anything, and you do it. Anything. I don't want you to go to that store anymore. Why? Well, just do it. Don't do it. And maybe because someone in that store has bad intention. Just trust God. He wants to be able to guide and direct you like that. So, number one, write down anything during we're praying. We're going to pray today, but I want you to write down whatever. I also want you to think of one big miracle that you want. How many of y'all got a big miracle you want or need in your life? Okay? Now, it's not this kind of miracle, though. I want to marry Denzel. Not that kind of miracle, okay? Everyone's got our little Denzel, you know, whatever in our life, dream, fantasy. I want to play for the San Diego Chargers. That's not going to happen, okay? So just forget that. I don't care. God in it, it ain't going to happen, okay, for 99% of people. Well, I'm talking about something that is in line with what God has going on in your life, okay? There's a verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That does not mean that you can do anything. It doesn't mean that. It means you can deal with any situation God puts you in, okay? There's just some things you're never going to do. You're never going to fly with these arms. You're never going to do that. Okay, God, there's a limit. But my point is that God, I need this to happen in my life. I need to stop smoking cigarettes. Okay, I need to stop cursing. I need to just stop getting angry. I need to stop that. I need to stop watching pornography. Whatever it is, just one for today. Okay, I'm not saying it's going to happen today, but I want that to be the focus just for. So when God does something with that, you go, man. Oh, by the way, one of the reasons that God wants to answer your prayer, and there's a whole bunch of them, but one of them, it makes him look good. And you will tell people about him. That's a good thing. He wants you to tell people about him. And so he does stuff in your life that nobody can do. So when you tell people about him, and when you tell them what he did, they go, wow. Even a non-believer goes, now, yeah, there's something freaky about that. That will be their words, but in other words, they're saying God is good, okay? So, okay, A, turn to Psalm 9:1. Did I tell you that already? Okay, let's read it. Psalm 9:1, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. Everyone look up here and do this. Say, marvelous. Like you're from Harvard, okay? Say marvelous. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will tell of your marvelous works. Number one in your notes, A is admire. A is admire God. A in Orsippa is admire God. So what we're going to do for a couple minutes is we are going to just tell God how good he is. You're not going to ask for anything. You're not going to confess any sin. You're not going to pray for anybody else. You're not going to pray for nothing. All you're going to do is tell God how good he is, acknowledging what he's done in your life, how holy he is, how perfect he is. Just going to lift God up. The Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. The first thing is to tell God how good he is. Okay, so we're going to lift God up. God is not down here, our servant. God, how can you haven't done this? God, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. No, no, God is up there. We're down here. Are you following me? So what we're going to do is say, God, I just want to acknowledge and remind myself that I acknowledge that you are God and look at all this good stuff you've done in my life. Okay? Admire. Only thank God. Don't ask for anything. Don't confess sin. Don't say sorry. Nothing, but you are the bomb. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. One more time. Shoulders go up. Shoulders go down, head goes down, eyes closed, and just spend a minute praying and telling God how good he is. Lord, thank you that you created prayer. Thank you that you've given us an ability to communicate to you. Thank you that you are patient with us and you love us and you want to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone say Orsippa. Let's spell it.
A.
A little louder, say A. One more time.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
And that spells?
Awesome.
And A means?
Admire.
A means?
Admire.
W. W means wait. Wait. W means wait. Turn to Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Everyone say, wait. This is probably the hardest thing in prayer is to sit quietly and listen and not try to have your mind wander about all everything in your life. And I want you to imagine yourself sitting by a river. Things are floating by in the river, and it's a nice, beautiful day. The wind is blowing. The birds are chirping and singing, and there's no people, just you and and all these things are floating by. And all those things floating by, you just watch them, right? You watch them flow by and they're gone. So when you're waiting on the Lord and you're trying to clear your mind, when thoughts come into your mind, just let them float on by. For example, I got to go to work tomorrow. Just let it go. I got to go to work. I got to go to work. I got to go to work. I got to go to school tomorrow. I got to go to school. I got to go to school. I got to go to school. What am I going to eat for dinner tonight? What am I going to eat for dinner tonight? What am I going to eat for dinner tonight? How am I going to not smoke five cigarettes today? How am I not going to smoke cigarettes today? What you don't want to do is, I got to go to work. Oh, yeah, and then I got to do this. And start talking to the conversation with the work thing. Just let it float on by. And one of the ways you can do that is just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And have your pen ready. Okay? Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Shoulders go up. Exhale. Drop your head. Wait. Lord, you tell us to wait on you. Trust that you are on time. Wait to hear your voice, not put you on our timetable. I pray that we would spend time every day waiting, listening, submitting. In Jesus' name, amen. Say Osipa. Spell it. Spell it again.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
Very good. A means?
Confess.
W means?
Wait.
C means?
Confess.
Everyone say confess. C means, everyone say confess.
Confess.
Okay, you write it in there. C means confess your sin. Confess simply means to agree. When you confess to a crime, you are agreeing you did it. When you confess your sin, you are agreeing that you are a sinner. So first we're going to lift God up, then we're going to wait on God, and then we're going to say, oh, we're going to put ourselves in our proper place and confess our sin. Now, when you confess your sin to God in prayer, it is one thing to say, dear God, I'm a sinner. And God will say, duh. He wants more than that. Okay, God, I shouldn't have said what I said to my sister yesterday. Real vague. God knows what happened, and God knows why it happened. It is better for you to really explain to God, for your benefit, what happened and why it happened. In other words, God, I shouldn't have said X, Y, and Z to my sister, and the reason I did it is because I had pride on my ego. I didn't want to look this, whatever, 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 and here's the motivation in my heart. Can you change that? That's a whole different prayer than, God, I shouldn't have said what I said to my sister. What you're doing is you're opening up your heart and saying, God, clean it out. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. Everyone say deceitful. And it is desperately. It wants to self-justify. It wants to be first. It wants to protect self. Do y'all agree? Whenever something happens, you always look at it from your perspective, and your perspective is always going to be about making you look better and defending yourself. That's a deceitful heart. Why? Because it's even deceiving you. When you're wrong, your heart's telling you you're right. And when you sin, your heart's telling you here's why you did it, and it's justified. That's sinfulness. When you confess to God, you're going to say, God, you know what? I did this, it was wrong, and here's why I did it, and I'm sorry. And the more you tell God, the more you surrender to God, the more change is going to happen in your heart. Imagine a guy saying, well, dear God, you know, I cheated on my taxes, so I want to acknowledge that. You have cheated on your taxes for the last 7 years. But if you tell God, God, I cheated on my taxes, and I don't want to do it again, and God says, and you say, and here's why I did it, because I'm cheap. And God would say to you, and this is all hypothetical, the other reason you did it is because you don't trust that I will take care of your needs. You think money is going to get you something that only I can give you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to your accountant, and I want you to go back to all the years you cheated, and I want you to ask him what you need to do to make it right. But God, I don't have the money. Well, no, you. Not only do you have the money, if you don't do that, I will take that money another way, and you'll still owe the tax. My point is that God is not concerned about things. He's concerned about your heart being clean. So when you confess, tell him as much as you can about your junk, why you do it, how often you do it, maybe what kind of sin you feel entangled in, and ask him to set you free. Just by you saying it, you'll be liberated. Okay, so I want you to think one nasty thing in your life that nobody knows. We all got it. Amen? Yeah, amen, amen. Take a deep breath. This is going to be a hard one. Take a deep breath. Let's pray. Lord, I pray people would have enough faith to say in their heart their deep, dark, ugly secret to you. Only you will hear. I pray they trust you enough to tell you. Lord, create in us a clean heart. We are sinners. Our hearts are desperately wicked. We can't know it. So we confess that we are helpless to cleanse ourselves of our sin. We surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone say, our sipper. By the way, how many of y'all had a hard time with that one? Mm-hmm. Okay. How many of y'all felt a little cleansing happen? Okay. How many of y'all did not pray anything wicked to God? Say, Orsippa. Spell it.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
A means?
Admire.
A means?
Admire.
W means?
Praise.
C means?
Bless.
I means?
Intercede.
Everyone say intercede.
Intercede.
Say intercede. That's you're praying for somebody else. You're praying for somebody else. This is the easiest way to have an international ministry. If you pray for someone sitting right next to you or someone in China, it has the same effect because God is everywhere, and just because they're far away doesn't mean your prayer is weak. Okay? You're going to have an international ministry right away. Okay? So it's praying for other people. Turn to Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44. It says, Jesus talking about loving your enemies, it says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We all have people in our life that have a difference, in the least, a difference of opinion than us. We have people in your life who call you names or see you as a bad person for whatever reason, because you're a Christian, because you're cute, they're jealous, or because you got long hair, you're tall, short, whatever it is. There's all people that don't like you for some reason. Can I get an amen? And we all acknowledge that we all have people in our life who don't like us, right? Okay, and we all acknowledge that we all have people in our life who do things to us that we think are bad. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know what God says? Pray for those people. Now, it doesn't mean, Lord, please empower them to hurt me more. Or give them my happiness so they can be happy and I can be miserable. It means, Lord, align their life with the Word of God. Reveal yourself to them, your life-transforming love. So the people who hate you, who call you names, pray for those people. Pray that God would bless them. It doesn't mean they're going to make them all happy. It means that He is going to reveal to them His will for their life. Because if their life lines up with the will of God and your life lines up with the will of God, probably a lot of your drama will go away. A lot of your drama will go away. Okay, so we're going to pray for those people. Pray that God bless them. Again, we're going to pray for, lift God up. We're going to wait. We're going to confess sin. Now we're going to pray for other people. If you can do this for people who don't like you, imagine how easy it's going to be to do it for people who like you. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we pray for all those people who would call us names for whatever reason, who would hate us, have a difference of opinion. We pray that you reveal your love to them. Lord, I want to pray for all those people who would have negative things to say about us because of our stand on marriage. I pray you bless them. I pray you love them. I pray you encourage them. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in the more powerful way than they've ever experienced you before. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone say Osipa. Say A. Say W. Say C. Say,
I.
Say,
E.
Say,
A.
Okay, say it by yourself.
A, W, C, I, E, A.
A means?
Admire.
A means?
Admire.
W means?
Praise.
C means?
Confess.
I means?
Intercede.
P means?
Petition.
Say, petition.
Petition.
Say, petition.
Petition.
That means is that now you can ask for something for yourself. Now think about it. We put God first. God, you're up there. We waited. Then we put ourselves in our proper place as sinners. God is holy. We are not. Then we pray for other people and acknowledge that there are other people with needs more than us. There are other people that don't have shoes. How many of y'all have shoes? Raise your hand real high, please. I know it's kind of a dumb question. Okay, thank you very much. How many of y'all have clothes? How many of y'all have easy access to food today and tomorrow and the next day? Okay, for the rest of your life, you have 401k food. Okay. There are 1 billion people on this planet that the drinking water they have, you can't see through, it's muddy. 1 billion that drink water that you wouldn't walk in. 1 billion people. So we want to always acknowledge that there's other people with worse problems than us, and if we are really in touch with God, God will direct us to people who are in need, and God will show us people in need, and we will soon become preoccupied with helping people in need, because that's what God wants to do. And by the way, we're one of those people in need, but there's someone in more need than you. If you ever want to get rid of one problem, get a bigger problem, and there's people with bigger problems than yours, okay? So we want to intercede, okay? And if you ever find yourself watching television and your heart breaking, anybody watch TV and you see, and I'm not talking about, you know, sitcoms, I'm talking about the news or documentaries or real life people, and your heart breaks because of their plight. Anybody? Okay, you see Cops, Gangland, you know, Discovery Channel when they have people getting shot in the hospital, whatever it is, or people going through all this stuff. As a matter of fact, reason why Home Makeover is so popular. Why, it's a fantastic show. You cry because here are these people coming in and helping somebody. Don't want nothing. That's a God thing. Okay, that's why it's so popular. We were made to do that. Okay, is to help people. So we want to intercede. If you live in a place where God, I want to help somebody, show me, you will be less preoccupied with you. Okay, so by the time you lift God up, by the time you wait, by the time you confess your sin, and by the time you pray for other people, now you can pray for yourself. And usually when you get to this point in your prayer cycle, you're going to say to God, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, you don't have to. You can ask him for anything. He wants to bless you. But you know when you realize, I got friends in my life. I got a place to live. I'm healthy. I mean, everything else is kind of gravy, right? I did an interview the other day for this magazine. They said, what is your prized possession? I really don't have anything things that I like. I'm not a thing person, materialistic person. And the first thing to come to my mind are my workout clothes and my socks that have holes in them. Because I have these socks, my wife, they're like 20-year-old socks. Okay, and the reason they have holes in them is because when we used to tape our ankles, we would cut the tape off, it would slice the sock. But I didn't want to throw away the socks. An old sweatshirt, she's like, why do you have this? I said, don't throw away my socks. That's what I like. It's my socks. I don't need it. You don't need hardly anything. You're blessed. Are you blessed? Now we're going to pray for ourselves. Let me read something to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand, God, would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause anybody pain. And God granted him what you requested. God wants to bless you. He wants you to ask for something like this. Now, again, this means significant. The man in this church, he did crystal meth for 18 years every day. We had a service a couple of years ago. We had baskets across the front of the stage. We were in our other building, and we said, write down a sin you have in your life you want to get rid of. He put it in a basket, and as the last day, he did crystal meth. 18 years, every day, he stopped in one day. That is a big deal. God says, I want you to ask me, what do you want me to do in your life? Lord, I need to deal with this addiction. I need to deal with my anger issue. I want to have a better relationship with my kids. I want to know my purpose. Now we're going to ask. Oh, you could ask him for $1 million. Okay? I don't know if you're going to get it, but you could ask him for $1 million. You know, people say money ruins people. Money doesn't ruin people. It makes people more of what they already are. And what money does is give you the opportunity to do what you've always wanted to do, which is a whole bunch of junk a lot of times. Matter of fact, I said this last service, and I had a kid come up to me after service, and he said, when I was 18 years old, I got $250,000 cash because my mother passed away. He said, it ruined me. I have none of it left. He's only in his young 20s, and I got addicted, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying money's bad, but I'm saying God may not give it to you for that very reason. Ask God for anything, though, and see what happens. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would ask for spiritual things. Hunger to pray and read the Bible and be holy. Liberation from sin in our life. Lord, thank you that you love us, and as we're praying, the last letter is A, just spend a minute thanking God for our time and whatever you want for the next minute or two, thanking him and praising him and admiring him. Lord, thank you for creating prayer. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for dying on the cross. If you could take out your communion cup and take the bread out. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Lord, we can thank you for a lot of things.